How's it going?
Good, you?
I'm not too bad.
That's good.
How are you feeling about your day so far as it comes to an end?
It was fine.
Are you getting tired?
I'm always tired.
Like, always tired, wanting to sleep tired, or, like, more physically exhausted?
I mean, by this point in the night, I'm starting to get, like, sleepy tired, and I guess also more, like, physically tired, too, but
yeah,
it's fine. It was a good day. I just wish it was, like, I could have used a warmer day.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of got spoiled there for a bit, like, with all those nice days, but for the sake of slowing the melt, maybe it's not such a bad thing. No, I mean, we got more snow yesterday, though, which didn't. Not too much, but a little bit.
Yeah, and there's more coming Tuesday, apparently.
Awesome.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's not talk about that, because...
Yeah. I feel like we both go to bed pretty early, usually. And it's, I think we've had a number of times where we've talked about either earlier in the day, or like the day before, being like, okay, let's do a podcast tomorrow, or like, let's podcast tonight. But then by the time child is in bed, the battery's drained. And we just don't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, there hasn't even really been that many times when we've had the intention of doing it, considering how long of a gap it's been since the last one we did. Like, I can't.
I mean, the most intention we had was when we went to the cabin.
Yeah, that was, we had enough intention that we got everything all set up and then realized I had forgot the memory card.
So it's in here now?
It's in here now,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I wouldn't even let us record if we didn't have
it in there. Okay.
On the subject of sleep and our sleepiness, yeah, and our tiredness. We actually had a list of topics we wrote down after the last one we did. We like came up with a whole bunch of topics and now they've just been sitting on Reese's phone. So hopefully if we can start doing this every once in a while, we can start chipping away at that list.
It's just been so long that we don't necessarily understand what I wrote. When I just wrote like short notes, it's like, what?
Yeah, real. Like there's a couple that are very confusing where it's like, I don't know what that means at all. But one thing was something about sleep positions, pillows, flat sheets, that kind of thing. But it just makes me think of just sleep habits in general.
Yeah.
Current ones, past ones, how they've evolved.
We're pretty opposite with our sleep habits.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely more of a morning person than you are. Like from that just standpoint.
Like sleep needs. Mine have, my whole life have been like high.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you can function better on not as much sleep.
Yeah. I used to have like bad insomnia issues. And now, thankfully, not so much. Every once in a while, I have a, you know, kind of a nasty bout of it. Like when I went out to the cabin on my birthday. And then I've had a couple like recently here where I, you know, just couldn't sleep all night long. But not nearly as much as I used to. Like I used to really have issues with sleeping. Though I do take melatonin fairly regularly, so that kind of helps with it. Maybe I would have more if I didn't.
Yeah, I think that tea helps a lot.
Yeah, we'll take like a sleepy time. Is it the traditional medicinals?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I find that usually actually gives me a pretty deep sleep. And I find, you know, melatonin usually does do the trick for me. Though sometimes like with melatonin, it'll put me to sleep. But then if I do wake up in the middle of the night, I find if I've used melatonin to help me fall asleep, I have a tough time falling back asleep from like a mid like night wake up, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas like, you know, it's got time if I like have to take a drowsy like nighttime cold medicine or something like that, like NyQuil or Tylenol cold or something, like I could wake up in the middle of the night for to go pee or something and I would still just have that heaviness where I'd just flop right back into bed and immediately sink back into it. But like melatonin doesn't like give me that, the same kind of weight, you know, when you just feel so heavy.
Yeah.
When you're tired.
It's very annoying to like have to wake up and go pee or something and then just be laying there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You do fall asleep very, very quickly though.
Well, especially like I've been reading more and I find I will take melatonin, come to bed, read, and read up until like the point where I'm like no longer even human, and then be like, okay, lights out, and like I'm just like, done pretty quick. Yeah. So I really just kind of push it to the brink, you know, like before I finally shut my eyes. But I've never been somebody who can just like fall asleep at the drop of a hat, you know, like people who could sleep in class and stuff. Like,
yeah, I can't that either. I sleep in cars,
yeah,
but I'm not like, I'd never fall asleep on the bus, or I can sometimes kind of sleep on a plane, but it's like a real crummy, weird, you know, plane sleep.
Surprisingly, on our way to Croatia there, like I managed to get a little bit of sleep.
Oh, yeah,
and I got none. You didn't get any.
Yeah, that was awful.
Yeah, whereas I almost never used to be able to sleep on a plane. And I remember when I went to Italy, I hadn't slept the whole way. And we had a long layover and stuff. So it was like, real marathon kind of travel experience. Like we went to Minneapolis, then to Amsterdam, then Amsterdam to Rome. And I finally fell asleep on the flight from Amsterdam to Rome. I took something. I can't remember what I took, but I like took something to help me fall asleep. And then like, I think I'd like just fallen asleep and the beverage cart person came and like the woman, I guess was like going to like try to like wake me up to like ask if I wanted something. And like Ellen like yelled at her. She's like, don't wake him up. He's sleeping. It's the first time he's finally slept. Like,
well, and like, that's just,
it's, yeah. And why silly. Do that anyway?
Why would you do that? Yeah.
But yeah, and cars and stuff. I couldn't really do that. A handful of times I've managed to fall asleep. I remember me and Brett took a trip out to BC and it was a real, like, just plow out there, pick up some stuff and turn around and head back kind of thing. So we were just, the goal was take turns and sleep while the other person drives. And I was dreading it. I eventually did sleep for a bit while Brett was driving. And,
yeah.
You know, head against the window, but it takes a lot. Like, it takes pushing me to the brink to, like, to let that happen. But, yeah, you sleep pretty easily in a car ride, like.
Yeah. Almost. Yeah, I always have.
Every time we go up to the cabin or something, like, by the time we're hitting the highway, you're, if not sleeping, at least, like, eyes closed.
Kind of
checked out.
What, also very different on pillows.
Yeah. Well, what's your, you just want one pillow and, like, I mean, I typically only sleep with one pillow these days too, but I
think that maybe you're not as picky.
Yeah.
With pillows, like if we go to the cabin or whatever, like if I don't have a good pillow, I have a really hard time sleeping. But you seem to be able to like plow through and sleep with a wafer of cardboard between a pillowcase.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love it, but I used to be more picky when I was young. I was more picky, and I feel like I slept with a lot of pillows when I was young.
Yeah.
But then between hostels and trucking and stuff like that, like I've definitely just come to sort of accept what I've got, you know?
Like, yeah. I feel like as I've gotten older, I've gotten pickier because if I've got a bad pillow, then I end up waking up with like a kink in my neck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously always better to have, you know, a nice mattress and your kind of ideal pillows, but just the amount of like shit mattresses I slept on during my years of doing long haul and never really had a, I mean, this was kind of my own fault, but I just for the sake of having less stuff to bring into the truck, I never really had a great pillow setup or anything. I just feel like my standards got lowered.
I remember coming back from Mexico the last time that we went and I was supposed to stay at a friend of Steve's place. And just like with all the kerfuffle at the border. And then once we ended up, like I was driving a minivan with some students in it. And then we ended up crossing the border before Steve and Crystal and their vehicles did. So I just like plugged in the directions to the hostel and drove there. We were just going to meet up. And turns out that the place I was supposed to sleep was actually before the hostel. And it was just, I don't know, I think it was like, it was after midnight. It was like a 12-hour exhausting day of driving. And I was like, fuck it, I'm not going to turn around and drive all the way back to where this place is. Just like, I think my bed was the hammock. I'm like, they're not going to do that. So I was like, I had bought a blanket at the border. I was like, I have a blanket. I'll just sleep in the van. It was like one of those, I don't know how to describe it.
A cargo van kind of?
Kind of like a cargo van. Yeah. 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 So anyway, I just slept in there in a parking lot and that was fine, but I didn't have any of the niceness. But nowadays I'm just too old and crippled and spoiled to do that.
Yeah.
I also don't like a flat sheet. I know that's sort of debatable for some people, but I move around so much when I sleep that it just ends up getting tangled and
yeah.
I just don't get it.
I know some people who are very anti flat sheet. I really couldn't care less either way from a sleeping standpoint. I mostly don't like it just because it's like one more thing to fuck around with when you're making the bed, you know? So yeah. It's just one more thing that needs to be washed and put on, especially like because our bed is against the wall. Like we have a pretty small master bedroom, so we don't have room to put it in the middle of the room. So we like, my side of the bed is against the wall and it just is a pain in the ass to change the sheets. So I would never want to have a flat sheet in our current setup.
Yeah. I think the only benefit would be that, I guess it's like a barrier between your body and the duvet, so you wouldn't have to wash the duvet cover so often.
Yeah, and I think that's the main, like people who just don't use a duvet but use like a comforter or a quilt or something like that.
Yeah.
Duke's singing a little song for everybody.
That's coming through.
Probably a little bit.
Oh my goodness. I should
put on one of the like room mics, attach that. Did you always sleep with a duvet growing up?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually always just have like a comforter. Like I would, you know, changing a duvet cover wasn't a thing for me when I was young.
Yeah, I don't remember when I was young, but I know like, I feel like late teens would be like a early memory of having duvets. I don't recall any laundering and changing of it. Like, I don't know if my mom did that or if I was just a filthy teen or whatever. But yeah, duvets were always a thing. That's funny, like my sister doesn't sleep with a duvet.
No.
She sleeps with like a comforter, a quilt or something.
Yeah, like I feel like I didn't really encounter a duvet until girlfriends. Like I didn't, you know, like I feel like even most of like my guy friends, if I like slept over at their house and stuff, they always just have like a comforter on their bed.
Yeah.
Often like, you know, some of the same ones. Like I feel like the period in the 90s, there's certain comforters sets, like bed sets that you would see repeatedly.
Yeah.
Like
I like a duvet.
Sears or even Walmart or something.
Bed in a bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Duvet's good. It's nice, like, being able to just throw the cover in to clean it, but pain in the ass changing it.
I just like the feel of it, too.
Especially when it gets all bunched up.
That's right.
Yeah. So what's sleep position? What would you say is your like standard?
On my side, typically my right side, with my left knee up and my right leg like straight and just like it's basically a horrible sleeping position because my like hips are all weird and whatever. If I'm having a really good sleep with like good dreams and I'm really in it, lots of times when I wake up, I'm on my back with my arms over my head. That's great. That hasn't happened in a while, but that's always just like, oh, that's the best.
That's a real recent thing for me. I never used to sleep on my back at all, but I will sometimes find myself in that position as well.
You used to be a real elbow thrower and it always like, it's like your body has a weird, my body, I guess, like an alert system. Like I'd be sleeping and then I just somehow would feel that elbow coming towards me and I'd be able to like intercept it in my sleep with my hand and push it away.
It's our training that I'm doing.
I think it's just like I'm just so heightened to refuse any type of touch while I'm sleeping that like... Yeah. No matter what,
you've delivered some kicks to like an unwanted elbow graze. It gets me a foot in the back.
I even, you know what though, I am very gentle when you're snoring. I always just give you a real light caress, but then you stop always.
Yeah, I usually just let it be because I don't want to get
kicked. You don't dare.
I feel like neither one of us are every night snorers, like, but we both have our moments where.
You usually snore, so that's how I know you fall asleep quick, is because you start snoring right away. But it doesn't last for that long, usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think I'm like, again, maybe I have my moments, but it's not intense. Yeah, yeah. Like some people are just like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, so much of it is probably related to time of year and my sinus status.
Yeah, yeah. It's still very dry. Yeah, I've had some real... standout moments of not being able to sleep because of snoring, and it's like it's just right up there with supreme, like just so supremely frustrated.
Yeah, my parents were both like loud, horrifying snore. You know, like where you're like, ah, like what? I mean, and my mom eventually like got the like the whatever the machine.
Oh yeah, the sleep apnea machine. Did they sleep in the same room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they both just like had violent snoring.
That's so wild.
And I remember at my cabin, like, because my grandma would snore too, and it would just be like cacophony.
Ugh.
Like, just.
And in that cabin, you can't escape it.
Yeah, I mean, the old.
I know, that's what I mean. Like, you could not escape that.
Now it would maybe be a little better, though it is still pretty echoey.
Yeah.
Now it's a different problem in that there's just like nothing on the walls or anything in there. So it's just like a canyon. Like, it just echoes, whereas the old one was just a big open space.
And yeah.
As kids, we were always like sleeping in the hide-a beds, like right out in the living room.
Right.
So you were just kind of like the nucleus of the noise.
And I can't even, like I just get so fixated on it. I can't try to ignore it. And, like, it just. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Bad. Like, yeah, when that happens. Well, when you. Luckily, I didn't really hear it, but recently when you were talking about a noise that our air purifier was making.
Yeah.
I was like, why? Why would you tell me that? No, I'm going to hear it too. But it didn't actually.
Did it stop?
Me. I don't know. Thankfully, I didn't notice it.
No, I don't think it did. I think we just turned it down a notch.
Yeah, I think I'm my sleep side, at least, is usually just sort of dependent on our current bed setup. I think I used to be a right side of my like a right side sleeper, but now I usually sleep on my left side. And same with like at our last house because we slept the same way. But when we were on McMillan, we were opposite. In the bed, like I slept on the
that's right. Side.
So I just usually like I'm whatever side is facing away from you. I get self conscious about like breathing on you and.
Yeah, I don't like facing sleeping somebody.
Yeah,
it's interesting, McMillan, because I for some reason usually like I want to be in the bed that's by the door and like facing it, kind of like in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I would pick the bed that's closer to the door.
Yeah, see, neither McMillan or Langside.
Yeah,
I was
exactly.
Both of those. I was closer to the door.
Which is interesting. Yeah. I'll be the one that gets murdered first.
Yeah, I know. Normally, I like being away from the door for that reason. You know,
my body.
I need a shield there. I can throw up yet.
Yeah, well, you're in luck at this place.
Yeah, unless someone comes in the window. But even then, I could probably like. If I have one of those reflexes like you do with my elbows,
yeah,
just grab
pull me on top of you.
Well, I mean, pull them over you.
Or that, yeah.
What about sleep wear? Did you sleep in pajamas when you were a kid? Nighty?
I'm sure I did. I have one memory of wearing a nighty.
Yeah.
When I was 12 years old, it was a Vanilla Ice Sick. Nighty. And the memory is coming down the stairs to say goodbye to my grandmother who had come, I don't know, for dinner or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And my newly pubescent self in my nightie and my grandma being like, "Ooh, you got little buds there."
Buds.
Buds. And being horrified and being like, "What the fuck?" And that is, I think, the only memory I have of a nightie, wearing a nightie.
Was do you think that scared you away from the nightie, or was it just
scarred me? And because I was like just wearing it, I don't know at what point I transitioned to no clothing.
Yeah,
there was a point where like I couldn't even have like a hair tie around my wrist. I would take it off at night.
Mm-hmm. You often have the covers even thrown off of you by the time morning comes.
Hanging out. Yeah, because usually what happens is when your alarm goes off, then I go diagonal.
Yeah.
And roll over to my Duke. He's going insane.
Come here. Is he a tiger or something?
He must.
Come down here. Bring it here.
Gosh. Yeah. Go to my left, go diagonal, and then, yeah, bunch up the covers. I don't know.
I feel like when I was like a kid, like up through elementary, I probably always wore pajama sets of some sort, you know?
Yeah. Because as a kid, I don't really think of many kids sleeping naked. Or maybe in underwear, but...
Yeah, maybe underwear. But I feel like... Yeah, I think my sisters usually, like when we were kids, all usually were nighty wearers.
Yeah.
And I always had like, you know, top and bottom pajama set.
Now when I think about it, wearing a nighty like around the house is great, but to bed seems awful. Like it would just get all tangled.
Twisty, yeah.
I would not like that.
Yeah, I think I was probably maybe junior high, I would have switched to like sleeping in boxers.
Yeah.
And then I've had like, at periods of like sleeping naked, but then sometimes I still like it, but most of the time I don't.
I can see that. I feel like things would just be like moving around. Like I would want a little bit of confinement if I
don't like things necessarily like touching the sheet, you know, like
it's yeah, like roll over and pinch the tip.
Yeah, nice seven things a little more contained.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really the main thing. But and sometimes I also like I'll even sometimes wear a shirt and stuff to bed. Like
sometimes like sweatpants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do that. It's like sweatpants and a t-shirt,
which is nuts to me.
Just depends. Like I like a cold room where I'm like bundled up. You know, like I want the surroundings to be chilly, and then everything like you know I can handle having sweats on and a big heavy blanket and that kind of thing.
I definitely want a cold room. Even with a cold room, though, I don't want anything on.
Yeah.
I just want to be buried under the duvet. Just
goosebumps?
No, because you're buried under
the duvet. Oh, you mean you don't want any clothing on?
Just a blanket. I mean. Yeah, just a blanket.
Yeah.
Then if you get hot, you stick your foot out. That's the way to do it. Stick your foot out. Just your foot.
It can do a lot,
cools
actually,
you down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing, like sleeping with socks on. Ugh. That's like only if I'm like really exhausted.
Maybe camping.
Yeah.
On a cold night.
Yeah.
I think is the only time
I definitely had nights in the truck when like, you know, the auxiliary heater would stop working or something like that. And I'd like wake up fucking just shivering in the middle of the night. I remember one time I was somewhere in Saskatchewan, middle of winter, and the heat stopped working. It was just like I woke up to it blowing cold air.
Ugh.
I was like, ugh. I was like putting it, like opening up my bag, and the clothes in the bag is itself like fairly cold at this point now, but like just putting like all of my clothes on, just trying to stay warm. And
I remember a client I had telling me a story about how she used to have to drive. I can't remember where it was, but she's for work. She would drive out a couple hours somewhere, stay there for a bit, work, and drive back a few hours. And she was telling me one time about how her car broke down. And it was a stretch where there's like not really anybody coming, no cell. Well, this is before cells, and just like yeah, like nothing around. And so she would always have her bag like of stuff, always like her emergency bag. And oh, right, because it brought up because she was saying like whenever she gets cold, her feet go quite blue. And she was saying it's because of like one time that happened and she was stranded, but she had like all the things she needed to keep herself relatively warm until somebody drove by and then she could get to like the next town and whatever. But just, you know, smart thing to do is have your car properly stocked for any kind of emergency, especially in the winter.
I think both of our vehicles have like some sort of like foil blanket kind of thing, but I don't know what kind of shape it's, you know, what it would even do for you.
Yeah, I think the Cobalt has like a kit still. The Tucson, I'm not sure what's
there. It had a kit at one, you know, like there might still be like bits of the kit.
Yeah.
Kit bits
in there.
But yeah, some of it, I don't know what's all in there. I think there is still like maybe like a poncho and some sort of, you know, blanket of some
flares.
Sort. But yeah, I don't think there's flares in that one.
Oh.
Yeah, there's still some stuff in there, I think.
Yeah.
Not flares, but triangles. I think, yeah, it's like...
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. I don't know. Oh,
dreams, nightmares. We don't need to get into, like, actual dreams, but have you ever had, like, a period of nightmares?
I don't think so. You know who's interesting to talk to about nightmares is Tim. One day, he has, like, wild nightmares, like, very scary nightmares, regularly.
I've had stretches of that. I remember in my early 20s, I had a lot of like spider related nightmares.
Uh-huh.
And some of them would kind of like end up in what I think is like what gets called sleep paralysis.
Oh, yeah.
Where you like feel like you're awake, but you can't move. And it's like you like are trying to do something and you can like see somebody there. Like I can remember one time like waking up and being out of my bed, like on my knees on the floor with like my like elbows like on the bed, like almost like a prayer position kind of thing. And like feeling like there's like spiders crawling up my bed and I couldn't move.
Oof.
And then I would often go in between classes to my band's practice space. That was like above where Goodwill is now on Portage there. And like I would walk over from U of W and just nap there on our couch in the afternoon. And I had like a lot of crazy nightmares there. Like I would doze off. And then I remember one time waking up and like feeling like there was like a heavy towel on my face smothering me. And I like, but I couldn't move my arms or anything to get it off. And just like really panicking that I was going to suffocate. And then all of a sudden, like next thing, it was like, I went from like lying there in that position to all of a sudden like flash. I was like standing and like had my hand on the light switch and was like standing in the doorway of the little like kind of room I was sleeping in.
Like you were actually like
up, yeah, standing? Yeah, like I have no memory of actually getting like making my way out of there. It was like almost like there was no in between. It was like I was on the couch suffocating and then all of a sudden next thing I was like in the doorway.
Wild.
Standing there.
Yeah, I don't I've had nightmares before, but it's not a regular thing. But I've always been a very vivid dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember my dreams as much as I used to. And I think that's because I get woken up
kind of
rudely. And then it's like not whether it's the cats or my alarm. It's usually coming pretty suddenly. Like I feel like it's easier to remember your dream when you have the luxury of kind of like waking up slowly and like having a moment to contemplate it. But when it's like you're woken up and then have to snap into action and do something, it fades quickly.
Yeah.
You have to kind of like commit it to memory upon wake up or something.
Instantly write it down.
Yeah. Or just, you know, mentally lock it in somehow, you know, think about it a little bit. But yeah, I still have, last night I had pretty crazy dreams and then woke up and could not fall back asleep. I woke up too early today.
Yeah. Well, you got to nap.
Yeah. That was essential. Oh, there we go. There's another thing. Napping.
Uh-huh.
You don't nap too often, but you nap more than I do, I think.
Yeah, napping is tricky.
I mean, it's tough with Luella to find time to nap.
Yeah, I mean, not like with, but tricky just in the sense of risk versus the benefit. Like, are you risking just feeling groggy for the rest of the day and it just like ruins it? Or is it going to be refreshing and get you through the rest of the day? Like, it depends on the length, mm-hmm. right?
I feel like on like nights, say you're like, there's going to be a party of some sort and you know you're going to stay up late. If you can manage a nap, I feel like it's going to be like so awful trying to get out of it, but beneficial in the long run. Like, you know, like after you get past like that hour and a bit of like grogginess and feeling like you just want to go back to bed.
Yeah.
If you can like do whatever you got to do, like drink some water, like get yourself to rally, then like the benefits really pay off. Like, you know, 2 hours later, you'll be like, thank God I had that nap.
I think it also depends on the time of day. You know, it's like an early afternoon nap or a late afternoon nap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a nap on Monday. That was the last time I napped.
Yeah, I have very few naps in a year. I feel like probably the peak of my napping was around when we first started dating and I was living at Jamil's and I would open like work, like opening shifts and at Sobeys. And then when I came home, I would sometimes like nap for a little bit when I got home.
Yeah. That's the other thing too, is like if you're waking up at 5 a.m., a nap seems more reasonable than if you're waking up at 7:30 or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Though, I mean, I consistently wake up at like 4:30 and still don't manage a nap most days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could use one many days.
Yeah.
But just don't.
I think if you had the opportunity to, you would maybe start to cultivate some napping.
Yeah.
Habits.
But yeah. Like I sometimes would maybe have the opportunity while on the road, you know, like when I'm loading or something somewhere, but I just like, I find it hard to shut my brain off because there's always like, even if I'm not actively doing anything, like I'm still working and I'm still like waiting for them to finish loading me or like, you know,
yeah,
thinking about other stuff, doing paperwork or something.
I've definitely had little like power naps in my car at work, but that's like, I have to be supremely exhausted for that to happen.
Yeah, sitting up nap, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, recline the seat as much as you can and throw an arm over your eyes.
Yeah. Well, do you want to move on from sleeping or is there more stuff there?
I mean, I'm okay to move on because it just makes me like think about...
You just want to go to bed. It's just, yeah, I feel like we've been... Our comeback has been a pretty low energy affair so far.
Talked maybe, about sleeping for half an hour.
Maybe that's why we should move on to something a little more lively. Wait, which one's what's calling out to you?
Well, here? I'm just thinking how like early or late can also tie in with that in no sense of early riser, late riser. Oh. Or actually, are you early to things or late to things?
Sure, let's start because I feel like it's not like there's not too much to talk about. So I feel like this is. Do it tied in, but I used to always be early or on time when I was younger.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And like had, you know, that kind of like I guess a lot of things, but just kind of just being pretty like hyper vigilant and like just like always aware of like, you know, the time I said I was gonna be there at this time or whether it was school or whatever. But most, like, yeah, school, I was always on time, but whatever, like a party or something like that. Like, I was always like, yeah, let's, you know, I said I would be there at that time, show up at that time. Like, but slowly I transitioned away to now more often than not, I'm late.
Yeah.
I think because I've just had people in my life, be it friends or girlfriends, who were the exact opposite, that I just, like, had to... just throw up my hands and like, you know, so many times where I could be so, I think I could be obnoxious in my like, okay, like let's get going. Like, what are you, you know, like when going somewhere with someone else who just was a lot more chill, that I learned to be chiller. And now I've like just myself resorted to the same habits of like waiting till the last minute.
I feel like, well, I'm always late to work. Mm-hmm. Always, even best intentions, I can prep food ahead of time, I can get up, but no matter what, I'm always like 10 minutes late to work.
Yeah,
but it depends on, sometimes it doesn't matter because of how the schedule is, but if I've got to go and stop at the office, like always, like Friday I didn't start work until 1:15 p.m. I had all morning and I was like 15 minutes late by the time I got there. But I just, whatever. It depends what, and yeah, it depends what it was. I think I was usually like early or on time for school and stuff, or like, yeah, it just depends on what it is. But nowadays, always late for work. Generally, I think keep pretty close time for other things.
Mm-hmm.
Not usually early, but like pretty close to on time.
Yeah. If it's like something like if I said, I was going to be meeting somebody for lunch or something like that. And we had said 11 o'clock. I think unless there's like outside circumstances because of somebody else.
Yeah.
During that day that I have to, you know, deal with in some manner. But like if I am just kind of left to my own devices, I will usually still probably be early for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like very rude making somebody wait. But work in the morning, I'm usually late, but it, you know, coming back to the sleep thing, I think we are late for different reasons.
Yeah.
I'm late
because I have poor time management and I fart around for too long and it's
yeah,
like,
or just like, we'll like sit, you know, like, you know, like you're more likely to be like I'll go up and down the stairs 3 or 4 times and you'll still be like sitting on the, or you might be doing stuff, but you're like, you know, you haven't left the bedroom or whatever. Whereas, yeah, in the morning, I will just try to cram too many things into a morning before I leave for work a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know, so then I'm like, next thing I know, I'm like, oh, fuck, like, okay.
Yeah.
I gotta get going. But we both have jobs where we're not going to like sit at a a desk or like, you know, we're not punching in at like a specific time. Like you, right. I've got whoever my first customer is that I have to make it to at a certain time. And I like, I'm almost never like late for that. You know, I know how to time it. Like if I know the schedule, like is going to need me to be there earlier, then I can make that happen. But I will sometimes like really push it to where I just, you know, I'm leaving it to the last possible second. I'm heading out the door.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it usually is, too. It's just pushing it, pushing it, pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you had a time machine, would you want to go backwards or forwards?
And are we going to say, in this scenario, we don't need to worry about any kind of, like, butterfly effect yes. kind of stuff? Because that just complicates things.
Yes.
Just purely, what would you rather go visit kind yeah. of thing? I don't know. It's not something I've thought about a lot. There is part of me is the temptation to be like, just go back and like, you know, whether it's like lottery or sports betting or investing or something like that, just like go back and use the knowledge I have today to go into the not too distant past and set myself up financially. But that's like, it's not a very fun answer. Like,
I have no desire to go to the future.
Well, I mean, yeah, who knows what you could run into.
I think that, no, Duke, you're going to light yourself on fire.
Jesus, Duke.
Oh my God, this cat. Pretty sure he just singed his whiskers on a candle. Yeah, I just feel like, I don't think there would be really any benefit to my present self knowing about the future, you know? Like, I just don't want that. I would rather go back, but I'd rather go back just for experiences.
Yeah.
To experience them knowing like what I know now. A day a month for the last like 4 years since like Lou came along. You know, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would go back for.
Yeah, I mean there's lots of reasons I can think of that. That would be a good one. Just kind of like revisit something like that. You know, there's like the go back and see some like band at their prime or something like that. But then that like means you have to go back like not just in time, but like to a very specific place that's not where we live now. And yeah, it's definitely not something I think about very often. Well, or like ever really. So it's yeah. like I don't have a very like so it's probably some people who like have an answer locked and loaded for this kind of thing. Like where would you go if you could go back in time? And I don't really have one specific thing. I mean, there's even things about like my childhood where your like memories kind of weird. Where you're like, what? Like, why did that happen? Or how, you know, where you sort of have like a weird spotty memory of something that doesn't seem to fit the rest of the narrative. So yeah. It'd be fun to like go back and see what the truth is, but then it could also be horrifying.
Like, yeah, and you're like, whoa. The truth is maybe that's why your memory is spotty because you weren't supposed to, to know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's all, I mean, it could all be a little dangerous. I guess maybe yours would be one of the safest things, but even that, it could be tainted. You might have a rosier impression of the specific thing you wanted to go back and visit, and then you get there and you're like...
I feel like it's the opposite. Is that like, I would like...
Everything's just gray in your memory, and you're like,
no,
it had to be better than that, right?
No, but like, you know, I would go back to say... when Lou was a few months old and it was like, what the hell is going on and all that. And then just go back with like knowing now, like, this is all fine. Just enjoy this, you know, like that kind of a thing to just like hold tiny baby Lou.
Yeah.
And more enjoyment, less worry. And stress and stuff for certain things. And then other things, you know, I would go back if I could like talk to my 20-year-old self, you know, those kinds of things. Or like periods in my life where I needed some guidance and just didn't have anybody to give it to me and I could talk to myself.
Yeah, I've definitely thought about those kind of things a bit. I think we may have even talked about that at some point on here.
Maybe.
Advice you would give your...
Don't drink that.
yeah there's different varieties of advice I would give myself, but
also on the flip side, like some things where it's like advice would be good, but also then it wouldn't have been the same experience to shape you into the person that you become. So,
yeah.
But there are definitely things where I would have like put an invisible hand on my shoulder, but like, no,
yeah,
this isn't happening.
Yeah. I mean, I mostly just would have been, there's like the things I think about are practical things about skill development, or like, I think I've even talked about like volunteering or mentorship kind of like programs and stuff like that. Like, I wish I was always pretty like averse to like any kind of extracurricular stuff, even if it was like something that I actually kind of did care about, you know. Like, I don't really know what I ended up prioritizing. I think I definitely like ended up, I don't, it's a weird thing to say, but like, I maybe spent too much time like thinking about like friends and hanging out with friends and stuff, which is all valuable, and I think I, you know, who I am as a person benefited from that to some degree. But I think there is like lots of wasted time that I, you know, that I,
like, what would you have been thinking about instead?
It's like, you know, just doing some sort of volunteering, like whether it was, you know, had I gone into some kind of film stuff or something like when I was young. Like, I never pursued things like that that I would just do for fun anyways. Like, and I could have maybe done them academically, you know, like, I just didn't. I always like wanted to do that kind of shit with my friends instead of like going out and finding like an organization where I could have maybe like met people who shared that my passion, you know, instead of like trying to like convince my friends to also do these things with me, like whether it was music or film or whatever.
Gotcha.
You know, I just kind of, I brought my I was always trying to bring my existing friends instead of like going out and finding a new network of people who like shared an interest I had.
Yeah. I have a grammatical question for you.
Okay.
Adverse, averse.
Two different words.
What's...
Did you say adverse?
Adverse.
Yeah.
And averse.
Averse, yeah. How would I define those differently?
Yeah, like, I'm averse to this situation. I'm adverse to this
situation. No, you would use averse in that situation.
When do you use adverse?
Adverse, like...
Is it like
adverse conditions?
Adversarial?
Like, yeah. Yeah. So you're like, the immediate like example I think of would be like, bad driving conditions. Yeah. Like, if you can think of like
adverse driving conditions.
Adversarial, but applied to like, I don't know.
Well, this kind of can link in, you know, thinking about going back and possibly pursuing other avenues that you were interested in. Where you're at now, what do you wish that you were great at?
Not to break the spell, but I like how you're taking the lead on the transitions here.
It's good. Yeah.
It's nice. What do I wish I was great at?
Yeah.
I mean, those kind of things. Like, I made a lot of artistic stuff. Singing, playing instruments.
Yeah.
I mean, those would probably be the main ones. How about you?
Drawing.
Yeah.
I thought about this like last time at the cabin. I think it was when we were sort of talking about these. One thing that I do wish I was great at is singing, but I would never want to do it aside from like myself or in my home, you know, because I wouldn't like the attention, like people looking at me and stuff. It would be really neat, I think, to be a really good singer and have that like in your pocket. But I do, these cats are really just looking at these candles like they want to burn their faces off.
Yeah, we might have to switch to something other than candles.
But I do, like, I wish I was more artistic.
Yeah.
Drawing, painting. Yeah. I think that would be fun and calming and a nice thing to
do. There's things like woodworking or something like that that I'm like, oh, I wish, I wish I like was good at that. I just like had the knowledge to like make a nice table, like, you know, but I don't think I just don't think I would ever really, even if I was good at it, that would not be my main. I wouldn't get enough joy from the steps of it to be able to like put in the time for it. Whereas like making music or even movies, that kind of stuff, like I kind of like every aspect of it.
Yeah.
So if I was to carve out the time to like get better at, you know, that kind of thing, then and I just these days had the time in general. Like, I mean, I do already do a lot of music stuff, but it's not like I'm sitting there like doing scales and stuff to get better at guitar. Like, I'm a pretty, you know, just good enough to get down the recording kind of guitarist. Like, I've never really done live performing or anything like that, and I don't really work on skill development too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it kind of like blurs the line between something you just wish you're great at versus hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like drawing and painting and stuff could be hobbies, but like I think it'd be really neat to just be like a really great drawer.
Yeah.
You know, not to say you make a career out of it, but it's not just like a hobby thing. Like, it's just something that you are just really good at. Yeah. A lot of things that I would do as hobbies. But that's a whole other topic for another time.
Drawing's one of those things. I feel like I have a few of these where, like, I had, like, as a kid, a baseline of just, like, you know, like, I started from a point of being, like, decent at it, but never cultivated that skill. And, like, so, like, I sort of remained within the range of where I started, you know? Like, so I'm, like... So for a kid in grade one, I was like one of the better drawers in the class. But like at this point, I'm like, you know, I can make something look like something, but that's nobody's gonna say it's amazing.
Oh. Dutch just tried to smack a candle. Not the brightest crayons in the box tonight, these well, two.
Dutch, I mean, not just tonight. I remember when he smacked at the hot glue gun and had to, like, try to wash glue out of his paw.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Did you do much drawing when you were young?
I don't think so. I was, like, pretty, ouch, pretty hard on myself with everything. Mm-hmm. From a young age, with the mindset of like, well, I can't do this. Not like, well, people just can't do this. They work at it, you know?
Yeah.
But my mindset was like, I suck. This is the third time I've tried to draw something, you know? And then I would just like give up because I thought that everybody else could just do it better.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that...
That's a big thing I try to like... And still in Lou. It's
yeah.
Because like, there's been a few times where she's just like, I'm not good at that. And I'm just like, well, nobody's good at it the first time. That's yeah. why you like try and practice and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a valuable thing to learn. Mm-hmm. And I don't really think I had anybody teach me that.
Yeah, I mean, either. I definitely I had a bit of that too. Like,
thought I sucked.
Yeah. Well, and I never, when it came to practicing something, I never wanted to practice with anybody else being able to see me too.
It was
like the thing, you know, so it was like, if it was something I could develop by myself when nobody was around, I could maybe, you know, work at it. But I just like didn't want to, I never liked anybody seeing me fail. Like, so yeah. I had a tough time with that. Which was probably also like something that played into not doing extracurricular stuff. You know, I played football, but football, I was always just like good enough at that it didn't really stress me out. But like other sports, like I know so many like people who like played every school sport, you know, like there's just those kind of kids. And I think like I was always under the assumption that they were like good at it. But then, like, and then you'd, like, go, you know, I'd go watch their games and stuff. And it's like, oh, no, they're not necessarily good at it. They just love it. So they just do it. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's like this friend of mine who, like, has played on the basketball team every year, like, I might be almost as good at basketball, right. But I would never do it because I'd just be so self-conscious because I'm not as good as the best people on the team.
Exactly.
But then, like, you know, so I would, yeah, I would not develop skills because of that, because I assumed I had to be better than I was.
Yeah.
Not understanding that that's how you get better is by, like, joining and doing it.
Or you just do it because you love it and you never get better, but right. That's okay to you, which exactly. is a very cool thing. I think, too, to be like that, just like confident in yourself. You know, to be like, yeah, I know I'm not great at this, but I like it and I have fun, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully we can, as two people who weren't able to do it for themselves, hopefully we can somehow instill that in our daughter. And I don't know, maybe learn how to do it ourselves so that we can actually set the example for her.
We can learn how to skate together. That's actually I have two winter goals for next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Skate. Even if it's just like on the, well, the only thing I really want to do is like be able to go skating on the river, pushing the like whatever trailer or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
help me stay steady and, do some cross-country skiing, right?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Because
there's some nice trails throughout. There's, you know, I just can't handle the cold. And, like, our winter was not the best for that.
This was a bad one.
It's just, like, nasty winter. But nice winter can be nice.
Yeah, like last year's winter would have maybe been a decent one.
Totally. That's what I'm hoping is coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, skating for sure is something where I'm like, I'd like to get out and try doing that. It's just one of those things where, like, most people in Winnipeg learn how to do that when they're young. And I was just always so resistant because I never cared about hockey. Like, I didn't like hockey at all.
Yeah.
Growing up, so I just didn't do it.
I didn't skate. I mean, I had figure skates. I remember that. I don't think I ever took skating lessons. I remember going to St. Vitale Park and skating around, but it was very, very minimal. Very minimal. But yeah, I think I would like it. And it's something to do. And it's also just like really nice to be on the frozen river, like the perspective. I like, you know,
yeah,
like seeing things from a boat or seeing things from the frozen river or whatever. And then, yeah, and the cross-country skiing is just really pretty.
Well, who'll make it happen?
Yeah.
Oh, we should start bringing it in here, I think.
I think so, too. I'm hungry.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
I need a bedtime snack.
Not me, but...
So you ate too many meatballs.
I did. Yeah.
It's funny, when I went upstairs, I was thinking in my head, I'm like, how many more meatballs is he going to eat before he comes up?
I had one.
Yeah.
But that was like one too many.
Yeah.
On top of what was already probably two too many.
Well, they were good. You made us a good dinner.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of meatballs left. Yeah. Well, this was a funny way of doing things. We made a set list this time, which we've never done before. So it made for a different vibe. I never really know immediately after we're done what to think. And then I guess as I go through and edit it, I'll have a better sense of
what it's like.
What it's like.
I feel like this followed the same format as all of them, where it starts off slow and takes us a little bit to find our like footing, and then it kind of picks up.
Yeah.
But it's also been a long time.
I feel like there's certain ones where there will be at least a moment or two where like something, we hit on something that like will feel kind of, I don't know, exciting on some level, you know, to me. I don't really know how to describe it, but whereas this one, I just feel like we adequately got through all the
topics. Just kind of trucked through our list. How was that? Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's also like we just didn't get, I don't know, but I'm sure it's good.
I think that having like a bit of a, like an outline was helpful this time around.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to rack our brains when we're already like kind of tired, very much out of practice, you know, having this. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why we made the big master list that we can no longer decipher.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, I'm going to go have a snack.
Okay. We'll take care of the email address is risachad2018@gmail.com.
That's right.
The microphone is $700.
Sure.
And that's it.
Find us wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Yep. Yeah. Now that you've had the end of the podcast, find us.
Yeah. Next time.
Yeah.
Don't forget to, what do they say? Leave a review and subscribe. Oh, there
we
go. Yeah.
We've got 5 ratings, but nobody's left any reviews.
Yeah. One of those ratings is me.
I mean, one of them is me. So we've got 3. I feel like I can probably guess who the others were.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
Hear you next time.
Yeah, good night and good luck.